Where did we stop? Hey, hang on. Is it? Can you remember where we stopped? Too many weeks.
活在四十。
啊？What's the text? What's the text? Then 科判是什么? 那个科判, this thing? What is the nearest 科判? No? 就不同了. Never mind, I refer to the other side first. Let me take a look at this side. So this one, right? So, yeah. 释迦牟尼佛在世尊佛. Okay. I think I'll just use a different app. So previously we covered up to this paragraph, and then we talk about the life span. Yeah. The lifespan actually would decline in 10, and I think I shared a bit about the implication, right? I think that was, I shared a bit of that in the previous week also, yeah. And then Siu Yin went to check the Agnya Sutta or Asanya, yeah, in the Digha Nikaya, the Agnya Sutta or something. So we continue from there, yeah. 佛在世时, yeah. So 罗胡罗是罗胡罗还是罗吉罗？罗胡罗，罗胡罗尊者，是罗胡罗？罗胡罗尊者，罗胡罗，他的 should be his son, huh? Is it? Yeah, but maybe not. 罗胡罗 because the 罗胡罗那个猴是另一个字。 Yeah, so 罗这个是胡啊。 罗胡罗尊者是阿罗汉，没有入涅槃。 Yeah, so in the Buddha's time, there was this venerable. He was an arahant, but he has not entered parinibbana. Yeah, so when we say a person has attained nibbana, doesn't mean the person entered nibbana. So still alive. Yeah, so this is one key distinction between Buddhism and other school of teachings. You don't have to die to attain the goal. You are still alive when you attain Nibbana. Suddenly, I remember something. I dreamt about Zuo Bing the other day. Yeah, I can't remember what the dream was. But, if I dream that Zuo Bing entered parinibbana, I think that's a very auspicious dream, because it means that, at least in the dream, Zuo Bing is at that stage. And it also means that I'm at a stage where I can know someone enter parinibbana. but suddenly, at this angle, suddenly I turn around and look at him, then memory of the dream come up. Yeah, we have a lot of dreams. Did you all have a dream of what you did in the past? Previously, we went through the text, isn't it? About how the things that happened in the past is just like a dream. Yeah, but back to this. 有一次变成比丘的身相。 So 有一次变成 变现成比丘的身相，来到一个寺庙，寺庙的出家人招呼他，倒杯牛奶给他。 So in the Buddha's time they drink milk. So But this is interesting. 有一次变现成比丘的身相。It means that this venerable, does it mean that he is not a monk? Or is he or nun? 他赢了牛奶后说，现在的牛奶还不如佛在世时的水那么这个营养。I remember my teacher making this statement. Basically that the food during the Buddha's time is much more nutritious than what we have at the later stage. And it's about our merits. That things arise due to our merits. In Buddhism, the way of looking at things is quite different. So what you have is due to your merits. Nothing to complain about. You can try to improve it, but if your merit is only up to that, the more you try to improve, the worse it becomes. Which, if you think about it, sometimes in life, 差不多就可以了哈。那你弄巧反拙。So over here is even more specific. That this venerable said that the milk that was offered at a certain point in time, that milk is not even as nutritious as the water. Think about it, water versus milk. Milk, of course, supposed to have more nutrition, right? But there's this statement. So, 可见，这可见佛在世时的水和现在的水是不一样的，也就是人的业力不同了。So our karma is different. So, 等到增劫时，人寿多少万岁。德高道德很高 So until such time when is the incremental kalpa or the incremental stage. Incremental in what sense? Incremental in the sense that our lifespan is starting to increase due to our morality, due to our cultivation. So in the sutra it described declining and incremental stages. So declining stages is where morality is degrading and consequently the lifespan becomes shorter and shorter and shorter. And then incrementing is where everybody cultivate. Not necessarily meditate, but observe five precepts, observe the 10 wholesome deeds and so on. In this way, the lifespan starts to increase. So here is talking about the incremental phase. The incremental stages. Then what happened? 人寿多少万岁? The lifespan is in terms of tens of thousands. Can you all imagine? 200 years? Here is not 200 years. No. Here is in terms of tens of thousands. 多少万岁? Now before we think that, again, Mahayana Sifu, Mahayana teachings always exaggerate one. But if you look at the Nikaya, there's one sutta where the Buddha talked about the lifespan of a long distant past, 60,000. If you ask me, I really don't know also. Sutta say one. But there's a point to it. In that sutta, the Buddha was highlighting that even at that point in time, the teacher was instructing the disciples that lifespan is short. Is instructing them that lifespan is short. And so the Buddha used that to highlight even at 60,000 is considered short. No? Then how about ours now? 80 years, 100 years, you think it's very long. Why is this important to highlight? Because while we don't consciously think my life is long. Do you all feel that your life is very long? Consciously or otherwise? We don't think so, isn't it? Sometimes we feel like our life is not long enough. Not long enough to do what? Not long enough to Taobao. Not long enough to go traveling. Not long enough to calculate with people. How do we know that we have this idea or that idea from the way we live our life. If we live our life spending a huge amount of our time on things that is fruitless, then even if in your mouth you say, oh, my life is so short, I must do something about it. But yet, what we do is whiling the life away. Then, actually deep down inside, end result is you think your life is very long. Yeah. So in that particular sutta, when the Buddha said, lifespan is 60,000 years, it was in contrast, in comparison. That even for them, the teacher at that point in time tell the disciple, lifespan is short, even when it's 60,000. So in contrast, your life you think is long? No. It's a fleeting moment. Yeah. Just like that gone. Yeah, just like that gone. Yeah. Sometimes I don't say that I'm always consciously thinking in this way. Sometimes you're not careful, then you really spend time, you know, really wasting your time. But sometimes when you suddenly realize that, oh, okay, what I need to do today, quickly go and get it done. Start with your daily things. What do I mean by that? There was this thing that I do. Don't laugh at me. The things I do is very trivial. Things that people like, well, that's called cultivation. Sometimes, when I have a drink, then I put on the table. Yeah, and I finish drinking, I just leave it on the table. Because no mother to tell me all much. Nobody to come and bother with my room. It's not my room. Anyway, I'm staying alone, so who cares, right? I'm not disturbed by it. I'm not affected by it. I can still prepare class. I can do my own reflection. So I'm not disturbed by it. My mind is still calm, right? Then one day, on some days, it's just clear water. And then I realize ants climb in. I told you all before, right? Climb in and die inside. Of course, sometimes it's because I drink, you know, the vitamin C. That is sweet, right? And the ants come. Then, one time, two times, wow, I feel so remorseful. And I thought, it's because of my, you know, what do you call that? Procrastination. So if I were to clean up immediately, when I need to clean up, then the ants don't have to die, right? Yeah. So that become an impetus for me. And then I realized that the moment I change that, then other part of my life start to change also. Nothing magical, it's just that it is a spillover effect. I become more conscious, more aware of other things that I can and should do now, but I used to procrastinate. Yeah. But I must forewarn you, not easy to sustain. So sometimes I still... but occasionally then, okay. Yeah. So over here, my teacher says, 人寿多少万岁? So when it's on the incremental phase, yeah, then up to some point, the lifespan of the individuals, yeah, of the human beings is tens of thousands of years. What happened? 道德很高. So I want to just highlight here, this is the relationship between these two is this 道德很高 is the cause, and then 人寿多少万岁 is the result. Although my teacher mentioned them the other way around, he is not saying that 人寿多少万岁所以道德很高, he's just stating that in sequence. Okay, but if you look at the sutta, it is because of the high morality, then the lifespan increase. So, 这个世界就不会像现在有这么多天灾人祸的苦恼事情. Then there's not so much of these problems that we have. Yeah. Natural disaster, human problems, and so on and so forth. So 第八是所变现的这些事情。So all the things that is manifested from the number eight consciousness, the eight consciousness. In other words, the Anlayan consciousness. Sometimes this. Anlayan consciousness. Yeah. And 第六是 so this is the mana consciousness. So 第六意识变现的不同。So 第八是所变现的时间长比较稳定。So those things that's manifested by the eight consciousness is it lasts for a longer duration and it's relatively more stable. 比较其实也不是稳定，说是比较稳定 ，relatively more stable， doesn't mean it's stable 啦 ，all transient, all impermanent， yeah. So， 我们凡夫肉眼，昨天看高山是这样子，今天看还是那样子，So， using our physical eye， yeah， we observe， we look at the mountain。Yesterday was like this, today still like this. Yeah? Yeah. So, 过几年看还是那样子。Yeah. So, after a few years, we look at it, still the same. Seems like there's no change. Yeah. So, what's going on? 但若过几十年几百年以后高山还是不同了。Yeah. So, through the passage of time, 10 years,hundreds of years, many, probably even thousands of years later. Then even the high mountain is no more. Yeah, even that will disappear one day. Yeah, so, 在迦瑟佛时代, yeah, so that's the Kashyapa Buddha. So the word the name Kashyapa is quite common in India. So this is not referring to Maha Kashyapa. Yeah, in the past,some of the sutta, the Buddha talk about the past Buddhas. So one of them is Kashyapa Buddha. So, 这个灵鹫山是那是很高很高的。Yeah. So in the sutta, oftentimes there's this Vulture's Peak. Yeah. So the Vulture's Peak, the mountain, compared to the past, not so high.In the past, it's much higher. Yeah. So, 道家释迦佛时代 So, this 释迦佛 that means referring to Shakyamuni Buddha. So, our present Buddha. 灵鹫山就矮了 yeah, Not so high. 以长时期来观看山和大地 yeah, 知道一切一切都在变动都是不真实虚妄的 All this, if we look at it from the long distance of time, yeah, all this is what? Always changing, yeah, constantly changing. Nothing is permanent. Yeah, so they are all like 不真实 So yesterday during the walk, yeah, talked to some of the students, yeah, Louis asked a lot of questions about this. Yeah, so I explained to her, yeah, 不真实 it's not real.是虚妄的 It's insubstantial It is false Yeah It means This 虚妄 It gives you An appearance of stability But actually it's not stable If it's not stable And it let you see That it's not stable It's not 虚妄 You see the difference? Yeah Now if let's say You buy a 山寨版 phone And it says 山寨版 Then nothing wrong It's not 虚妄他没有骗你啊，他就是这样子啊，他老老实实跟你讲啊。But now, if you just look at it, it looks like Apple logo. But the Apple bite is on the wrong side. Yeah. And then you turn on, then you realize, yeah. Then you realize inside it says pineapple, not apple. You all don't laugh though. When I was in secondary school, I had a friend, really happened to him though.Tell his father, I want an Apple computer. So his father went and buy. Come back with a pineapple. Because there was a time there were OEM Apple computer. There was a very short period of time Apple actually licensed their firmware, their OS. Yeah. Back when the operating system is built into the firmware. Yeah. So he, when his father opened the box, he looked at, what do you buy? Buy Apple. So then if it's, it says, if it says pineapple, not Shiva. If it says apple, but inside pineapple, Shiva. So, 都是不真实是虚妄的. Why say that? Because when you look at the mountain, it looks solid, it looks stable, but actually not truly stable. That's why it's 不真实而且是虚妄的. 所以只要是因缘生法都是不决定的. 不决定, 都是希望的. So as long as it is conditional, 因缘生法, so conditional arising phenomena, 两块半, 都是不决定, then it is not certain. Not certain. That means it is, how it changes is uncertain. Now it's like that, next moment not certain. 都是希望的. It is false, it is insubstantial, it is unreal. So, 所以最后的结论, so what is the final conclusion? 如无色大乘论说, 一切法不是离开分别心, 有它自己独立的体性. So here, I want to highlight, 体性跟自性, so 体性 versus 自性. If we use English, 自性 is inherent characteristic. 体性 is substantiality. So, 名言没有体性. 名言没有体性. So, words have no substantiality. And it also has no inherentness. Yeah. What do you mean by that? So, yesterday along the pathway, then Louis was asking these questions. So, I was explaining. So I explained, and then he said, but what for we know this? I was explaining that the words itself has no substantiality. When we say that, so she said, but the lake is beautiful. So I said, okay, this beautiful, this statement, the lake is beautiful, two levels. Number one, the beautiful, that word, no substantiality. Number two, the lake itself is not inherently beautiful. So the first level, the word beautiful itself is not beautiful. Doesn't have the beautiful substantiality. Yeah, no substance inside this word, isn't it? Yeah. Otherwise, when you hear the word beautiful, then all girls should be called beautiful. And that's why last time, 美什么美什么, and that fool, 美玲, 美艳, all got it. Yeah. It's true, right? When we, like, parents in the past, when they name their daughter, always may something one, may something one. Never have 丑 one. Huh? Then all the guys always 强 one, some 强 one. Yeah?
阿强?
阿强 one. Why?
小强.
Cockroach, 小强. 小强, 小强. Yeah. So, names have no substance. Yeah? If names have substance, then all we have to do is when we are hungry, 饱了, eh? Wow, immediately you feel 饱了. Yeah. Then you want to be young, 年轻, and so on. But doesn't work that way. So this is the words. Yeah? 名字没有体性. And 自性呢? So inherentness. So then we talk about the lake, or not the lake, the reservoir. So is the reservoir beautiful? So then I told her, I said, if halfway through, after we finish meditation, she asked some questions, then after that they move around. Then suddenly she was like, hey, where's my phone? So I said, at that moment, is the reservoir still beautiful? At that moment, the reservoir ceases to be beautiful. In fact, at that moment, in your mind, are you even thinking about the reservoir? Does the reservoir even exist for you? No. So that is the non-inherentness of the beautifulness of the lake. The beauty has no inherentness. So once conditions change, doesn't appear anymore. But the moment you find your handphone, again beautiful. So 提性跟自性. So after that, then she asked, so what for do we learn this? Why do we learn this? So I asked her, I told her, I said, well, first of all, you need to know, if you don't realize this, our default, when we don't realize this, what is the consequences? From there, then you know why you need to learn this. So I give her a metaphor or a parable. It is like if your teeth is decayed, then you have toothache and so on. Then if you go and see a doctor, that toothache, you can clean up your teeth, your tooth, and then it's okay. Then you avoid those problems. But if you don't go, what happens? Your tooth will be worse, then it may even decay, rot, and you may even have more issues. So this is using this to understand why we need to learn reality. And when I finish this, then she's like, wow, very chim, man. Any of you walking nearby yesterday? No one? Can remember or not? Sure not. Ask you to continue the story. So anyway, after that, then I stopped her. I told her, no, don't tell me that it's very chim yet. Don't just jump in and say, whenever you hear an analogy, a metaphor, a parable, a simile, don't try to understand the intended meaning immediately. Try to understand the simile first. Understand the metaphor by itself first. Because even if you cannot even understand the first part, then you cannot apply to understand the intended meaning. And she said, okay. So I said, dentist, anything complicated? No. Okay, no. Toothache, anything complicated? No. All these are worldly things, right? So through this, she can understand this part. You can all understand? Cannot. Then I say, so in the same way, you ask me, why should we learn all this, empty this, empty that? So it is by looking at the default. If we don't realize this, if we don't learn this, what is our default? Our default is we will grasp on to words as having substance. That is the default. We haven't gone into what happens. But I say, first of all, if we don't learn this, our natural state is not realizing that words have no substance. Then she thinking, then she said, no, what? I do think that way. I said, now we are discussing that, you think that way. Normally, do you think that way? Then she said, no, I normally think this way. Normally, I think words don't have substance. Then I said, oh, really? Then she said, yes. Fang pi. Then she said, huh? I said, yeah, rubbish. What kind of nonsense are you talking about? Wah, da, 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 da. Then after a few steps, she looked. Then I said, so do you feel down now? I said, what? Then I said, see? That's why I say, that is not your default. If it's really the default, if you really say that the words has no substance, you wouldn't affect your mood. The fact that your mood is affected shows that you don't, that is not your default. Then she, oh. Then after that, she said, oh yeah, okay, understand. I said, so you all see, she's not bad. I see, 蛮有智慧的. And she, I said, 这个也是假的. So, actually this could go on for the rest of the walk, all the way until we reach the car park. Halfway through, talk up there, and she, 这个也是假的. And to me, this is quite crucial. The question she asked is quite crucial. Why should we learn this? Why should we learn? So what if we learn? Because if we don't realize this, it means that we haven't really applied. So this part requires us to really honestly check. Yeah, if we don't, do we really see the truth in our default state? Yeah, the truth is, we even in a classroom setting, in a very controlled environment, with all the text ready made, and you sit down, you listen to people's explanation, we may or may not get it. So in our day-to-day, not our default. Then after that, I told her, so, because that is not your default, just one word, you go down, just one word, you go up. So this is the advantage. If you can realize this minimally, you will not go up and down so easily with people's words. But I also told her, I said, but some students were swan with and said, you know what? I like, if I don't experience some suffering, how can I appreciate happiness? Yeah. So I told them, I said, in Buddhism, we don't force people to be enlightened. It's okay. If you enjoy going up and down, carry on. When you are sick and tired of this, then you come and look for me. So, 换言之，一切法是唯心所现。So, in other words, all phenomena is manifested through our mind. 唯心所现，都是心所创造的。It's all created by the mind. So in Buddhism, we don't say that the world is created by some supreme being. We say all created by all of us. All things created by our mind. Yeah. 离开我们的心，一切法没有体性可得。Apart from my mind, there's no substantiality. Yeah? No substance to talk about. 所以都是心的变现。So it's all manifested through the mind. Yeah.So, 但是它有时间性 but it has the time duration. It has a time duration. 有的变化很快 yeah, So in terms of time duration, some change over a short time. Others change over a long time. 有的变化很慢 yeah, So sometimes fast, sometimes slow. 经过很久很久才结束So sometimes over a long time, then it comes to an end. 凡夫的肉眼不明白这件事，但佛菩萨的慧眼、法眼观察，一切法都是虚妄，毕竟空的。So using our physical eye, yeah, 肉眼 here refers to physical eye. It means using light to see. Yeah, we look at physical world, it looks quite permanent, isn't it? We don't even have to look at what mountain, Every day when you wake up and go to the toilet, do you feel like your toilet has changed? When you go back home, do you feel like your house changed? Do you feel your house changed? Dusty. You mean you can tell the difference? Oh, well done. That means you clean every day. Lah. If you're like me, then you can't tell the difference. So, other than the dust, then we look around, looks quite the same, isn't it? Yeah, looks quite the same. So, not to mention the mountains. Yeah, not to mention the mountains. Even at day-to-day things, yeah, including ourselves. We wake up, seems like it's the same. But, there's a difference. 但佛菩萨的慧眼, yeah, the wisdom eye. Here, when we say 慧眼, you know, in the movies, they always kai hui yan, wow, then really got one eye come out. And do you notice in the movies, every time the eye open, then the eye must. The eye must always look left, right? Yeah, it's a dramatization. Otherwise, imagine the character kai hui yan, then nothing happened here. Hmm, 我观察, then you feel like, just using an eye word. What's the big deal? Right? Even Superman use X-ray vision, they must, you know, superimpose some something so that you... Well, it's to help us. Yeah. It's just to help us. Yeah. When we say, 但佛菩萨的慧眼,法眼, it's basically meaning using the wisdom. Yeah. Not some extra eye, you know. Yeah. In this 法眼, in the sutta, the Buddha did use this term, 法眼. Yeah. But 法眼 is a very specific term, meaning that this person has already seen a glimpse of the Dhamma. Yeah. Meaning that anytime he wants, he can look at 人事物, look at whatever phenomena, and connect with the truth. Sotapanna and above. And that's why for them, 不退转. Yeah. Even though occasionally, suddenly, a bit of lapse, but very quickly. Because when they direct their mind towards the Nibbana element, then they can, okay, they see the truth again. So occasional lapse, like permanence, so, immediately they can connect with that. For us, listen to Dhamma talk, listen until, cannot. So Bodhisattva, different from us. The Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, with their wisdom, different. Yeah. What do they observe?
一切都是虚妄，毕竟空。
Yeah, all phenomena, yeah, are all what? Are all insubstantial, are false, yeah. 毕竟空, 毕竟空, I've explained before, ultimately void. It means now exists, but ultimately cease to exist. Yeah. So, 而佛所得的无上菩提也是无自性毕竟空的. Oh, this statement. I think for many people when they read this or they hear my teacher give this teaching, their reaction is, for someone to have this reaction, there are a few reasons. One is they really truly appreciate that 无上菩提 is Buddhahood. That they truly appreciate that Buddhahood is without inherentness. They truly appreciate it. They truly see it. Then they, master giving Dhamma talk. Then they sit down there. It's like, it's okay, I give you my vote of confidence. Mm. I give you my affirmation. Mm. Another type is, they also don't know what my teacher is saying. Then they also, There's another type. When they first hear this, 佛所得的无上菩提是无自性毕竟空的. And they, did I hear wrongly? 刚才老和尚是说是有自性是无自性. 你也是听到, 可能讲错是不是? Don't think that this is wrong, no. For those who are not quite there yet, you should be shocked, no. Yeah, you should be shocked. Because suddenly tell you that Buddhahood is not inherent. Because we have been learning about non-inherentness to mean as though it is like nothing, you know. So for many, they don't even feel this way. But those who are attentive and they really learn the teachings, they initially will be a bit shocked. 佛所得的无上菩提也是无自性毕竟空. Because earlier it says 一切 ma, but we usually think, yeah la, 一切 la, but 佛果, no, that one not included. Everything empty, but not Buddhahood. Unconsciously we have this kind of mindset. But here, if you really learn the teachings, initially you will have a bit of shock. About how many years ago? 13 years ago, when I first have one Dhamma talk on Heart Sutra. Wow, 自不自量力, 一天,一晚上, 两个钟头, 要把整个心经讲完, 而且一字不漏, 哇,啪,啪,啪,啪。 Well, they still listen. Then at the end, still have time for Q&A, you know? Oh, terror. Then I remember one of the questions was, Venerable, so is emptiness empty? Yeah, that was one of the questions. I think I told him, yes, it's empty. But I was, at that point in time, not able to articulate why it's empty. But by then, by that time that question come up, by the time I give answer saying it's empty, everybody was more than satisfied. Yeah, yeah, empty. Okay, next question, line. Yeah. And there were some students who were like, ask this kind of question, you know, ask something more practical. Emptiness, who cares whether it's empty? Yeah. 佛为众生所说的佛法也都是随种种因缘而安立的，不是真实的。 This, so all this in Buddhism is very interesting. We don't say all things empty, but Buddhahood, Buddha Dharma inherent, or like this, like that. No. Very interesting. So all things dependent arising, dependent on conditions, then the teachings are established, and then when there's no more conditions, then it's gone. Yeah. But here there's one thing. 佛所说的佛法, 所说的佛法, Yeah, so the Buddha Dharma point towards the truth. So how about the truth? Give you all a question. How about the truth? Is the truth also conditional?
Yes.
In what way? Not the spoken truth.
No.
The truth that is pointed to by the spoken truth. In what way? Like? First of all, how many of you agree? How many of you disagree? Like, with his statement? Because I said that the Buddha Dharma points to the truth, ultimate reality. So, ultimate reality is Sisyam. So the question, whether this ultimate reality, is it also conditional? Then he said yes. Right. So how many of you agree it is conditional also? Conditional. How many of you disagree? One person, two person disagree. Quack and Singling disagree. You agree that it's conditional. So why is it conditional? Your answer, why? You all agree, ma? Why is it conditional? Ultimate reality, why is it conditional?
Action.
Ultimate reality.
Yeah, you need to have an action then you can see the reality.
You must have an action, then you can see the reality.
No action.
So no action, then there's no ultimate reality?
No
in,
no
go. No in, no go.
Yeah.
Huh?
If nothing happens, then there's no reality.
That's, so now, the ultimate reality of this table, in what way is it conditional? Right? Because you all agree with him, ma. So you are all in the same boat. You all come and explain. Why is the ultimate reality conditional?
The table.
Not the table. Table is table itself is the conditioned phenomena. Yeah. So the ultimate reality of this table. Yeah. How is that conditional? Anyone? Huh? Ming ti so yong.
Yeah.
Ultimate reality don't have ming ti so yong. Yeah. 名体受用都是讲缘起的 yeah. 星空本身没有名体受用
There's consciousness So when there's consciousness Then there's a karmatic action Then
karmatic
I don't know how to explain it When there's consciousness Then things will manifest Then when things manifest Then there's a truth in that reality So when consciousness doesn't arise Then there's no reality So the truth to the reality doesn't exist.
So, okay. So consciousness. So, oh, you're going from the alaya consciousness anger. Huh? Is that the case?
I'm going from the 12 dependent origin.
Oh, 12 dependent origination. So, how about the ultimate? Okay, so you are going by the Nikaya angle.
I don't know which angle, but
okay.
12.
So, how about this carpet? This carpet? What is the ultimate reality of this carpet?
It's empty in nature.
Yeah. So, the fact that it's empty in nature, is it conditional?
Yes, because it's subjected to conditions for it to appear.
It's subject to conditions for it to appear. That is the conditionality of its existence. But the fact that it is conditional, that is the ultimate reality, isn't it? So how is that? I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with you. I want you all to explore. How is that? Like Nancy, second yogi, yogini.
Who can see ultimate reality?
Huh?
Who can see ultimate reality?
Who can see? Buddha?
I don't have Buddha.
Those who have attained the Dhamma eye.
So the thing is that, is it conditioned?
It is
certain cultivation when you reach that level, then you can see ultimate reality.
Yeah, but whether you see or not, like in the teachings, even for unenlightened beings, right, we are living within ultimate reality.
Yeah, but you can't see it. Or you live
yeah, but now we're not talking about seeing it or not.
So you need a certain condition with your
yeah, but with only the seeing part. Now we're talking about ultimate reality itself. It's just like now if I use this to represent ultimate reality, don't really think this is ultimate reality. This is just a representative. So for you to see, you need conditions. You need the light, you need your eye, and your being awake. So the seeing itself is conditional. But for this to exist doesn't depend on all these things. This doesn't depend on your eye to exist. This is here anyway. Ultimate reality is more like this, not the seeing part.
So what is the actual definition of an ultimate reality? Is it conditional upon the individual phenomenal's emptiness that attributes to the ultimate reality? Or how do you how was it derived?
Did y'all see the point about your question? About the very definition of ultimate reality? Do y'all agree with her question? That we have to look at the definition itself for a start? Yes? But in the first place, you already agreed that ultimate reality is dependent arising without even knowing by the definition.
Come.
in the teachings, right, when you talk about all phenomena, then how about the unconditioned phenomena? Because the Buddha described ultimate reality, Nibbana, as the unconditioned phenomena. It cannot be that he says it's unconditioned, then later, oh, by the way, this unconditioned is also conditioned. Yeah. So that unconditioned phenomena rightly refers to the ultimate reality. Ultimate reality has no conception, no words, no duality. So in that state, the ultimate reality of all phenomena, as a result, has no contrast of permanent or impermanent, has no contrast of conditioned or unconditioned. But once you use words, then it's considered conditioned, considered unconditioned. Yeah, but itself, without words, it is neither conditioned nor unconditioned. What about? Yeah. That's the 实相. Yeah. So ultimate reality, then there's the wisdom, yeah, that points towards ultimate reality. The Dharma that the Buddha described, even the word ultimate reality is conditioned. Yeah. But this word ultimate reality points to the actual ultimate reality that is beyond condition, unconditioned. Agree? Why you agree? You all agree, huh? You agree or disagree? Please don't tell me agree to disagree. Then why you all think about it. You think about it. But don't worry about getting it wrong. Okay? You should be worried if you get it right also. Because you should be worried whether you get it right for the right reason. Getting it wrong, no problem. Because then you can see where the subtle nuances is. Yeah? So sometimes when we meditate, then when we say contemplate, you can do this. You can go and examine. In what way is it like this? In what way is it like that? Yeah. The difficulty is to argue on both sides. You understand what it means, like argue on both sides? That means, first you take the stand, ultimate reality is conditional. And you really, if I can use the word, vehemently fight for it. Yeah. Then after it flips side. Now you are opposing team and you counter. You know, like playing chess, you flip the table and right. So this is the rigor of the Buddhist contemplation. You don't just argue on one side. Anyone can do that, argue on one side. There's a lopsided bias view. Anyone can argue on one side. But to argue on both sides, then you can see the complete picture. Then it also, at a certain level, you stop being attached to a worldview or a viewpoint, because if you are attached to one side, you cannot argue against it. And sometimes you are blindsided, you know, yeah, and you don't know when you are having the wrong view, ma. If you know it, then it's not wrong view really. You would have abandoned it. So I have to be careful. But don't take my word for it. Go back and examine. Is it correct? The ultimate reality, is it really beyond condition, unconditioned? Recently, when we go through the Thursday class, we're now at the wisdom chapter. There's a lot of good news there. Yeah. It talked about this non-duality part. We continue. So, 佛为众生说的佛法, so important, 是为众生说的佛法, so it's the spoken Dharma. The spoken Dharma is using words, so that is dependent condition and conditional also. 也都是随种种因缘而安立的。 Yeah. So, 不是真实的。 So, 现在说非法非非法。 So now here we talk about not Dharma, neither not Dharma. So, 所有的因缘生法都是不决定毕竟空。 So all the conditionally arising phenomena, they are all what? They are all not certain. They are all ultimately empty. 这叫做非法. So this is called the non-dharma. Earlier when we went through, yeah, it's talking about the emptiness. Yeah. So, 而毕竟空就是非法, 这也是不能执着的。 So, it's talking about emptiness and then the non-grasping of it. 如果取着毕竟空, yeah, 这个毕竟空就不是毕竟空。 Ultimate emptiness, if you grasp onto it, yeah, once you grasp onto it, then it's not ultimately empty also. 就变成, then what happened? 就变成心理分别的影像了。 So the moment, that's why in all the different Buddhist tradition, at some point there is the angle to have no concepts. Yeah. Why? Because ultimate reality is beyond concepts. So as long as you still have a concept, you're actually still one step away, minimally. One step away from ultimate reality. Yeah. So even that's why sometimes when we talk about, let's say, emptiness. Yeah, emptiness is ultimate reality. But the moment you talk about emptiness, actually we are away from emptiness. But at the same time, if you don't talk about emptiness, then you cannot know where emptiness is. So after hearing what emptiness is, then you must go and digest the emptiness and then speed it up and throw away that. Throw away the words. And just go and experience the emptiness. Yeah. Not the nothingness, but the emptiness. Yeah. 比如我们观察色受想行识都是自性空。 So for example, we contemplate, we observe the five aggregates, form, feelings, perception, mental formations, and consciousness, that it is all empty of inherent nature. Yeah. 都是自性空. 自性空里无色受想行识. Yeah. So within emptiness, there's no form, feelings, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. So just now, someone mentioned about what? 明体受用. So 明体受用 is describing the 缘起的 portion. Yeah. 空性里面是找到这个的. So, 这样分别自性空, yeah. So by discerning, yeah, by in a way discriminating this emptiness, yeah. Then what happens? 那自性空就是性理的影像. Basically, what I was talking about. When you contemplate the emptiness, that is just a concept in your mind, yeah. So, having this concept in your mind, then 而变成法尘分别影像. So then it becomes the mental object. Then actually it becomes an object. But right, it's emptiness. Yeah. Emptiness is the principle of ultimate reality. Not supposed to have anything. It's how it things are. Beyond words. No words. But the moment you think about it, you contemplate on it, it becomes a concept. This concept points towards ultimate reality, but it's not ultimate reality. Can I understand? You drive, yeah, you get in your car, you drive, you want to go Changi Airport, you want to go upper pierce, lower pierce. Then you see the signboard. The signboard tell you how to go there, but the signboard is not upper pierce. Even when you reach upper pierce, you see the signboard upper pierce. Is that signboard upper pierce? Those who go for walks regularly, I always ask this question. Where are we now? Yeah, where are we now? then they will say upper pierce, they will say lower pierce, they will say, you know, treetop walk, they will say all kinds. Yeah. Then I ask them, how do you know? Then they will usually point to the signboard. Then, Sifu. So I ask them, so does it mean that if we somehow get this signboard and bring it to your place, then that your place become upper pierce? And if we remove the signboard, then does it mean this place is no longer upper pierce? Before this signboard was erected, was it upper pierce? Seconds before they display the signboard, was it upper pierce? Seconds later, they remove it. Technically, nothing much has changed. So, what has changed to make it, to make upper pierce appear? Upper pierce, bukata.
So, Sifu, is it safe to say we are on Earth? Or are we on Earth or not on Earth?
We are on Earth.
Then that's the
safer
to say.
But Earth, yeah, bukata. If we were to, then we can ask ourselves, how do we know that we are on Earth? Because when we are a kid, we don't know we are on Earth, isn't it? Yeah. We know that we are on Earth because we have accepted the scientific principles. Yeah, that we are on Earth. Of course, granted, every day when we wake up, there are no evidence to point otherwise. The question still begs to be asked. Yeah? If we extend to that point, then we can ask ourselves, how do you know that we are on Earth? What makes this place Earth? Whatever answer it is, that you say we are here or there, same, you can tear it down. Then you realize that wherever you think you are is your concept. So first you must have a concept of Earth, and then the concept that we are all on Earth. Of course, beyond this, then you must ask the question that Louis asked. Why must we know this? First we must recognize that our default is we don't realize this. We really think we are on Earth. But even for Earth, we don't really think about it. We think we are in BL, we are in a shopping center, we are stuck in Singapore. That's why people want to travel. I was in Beijing one time, and then after lunch, that restaurant had interesting, what do you call that? Nature feature. Yeah. So we walk out, and then, you know, the whole place had the wooden platform. And then at some point, I asked my student, I said, yeah, it was not so much that I want to ask her, to quiz her or test her, but it was that as I was looking on the ground, then suddenly I had this exclamation that, look at the ground. Then she said, do you see, how do you know that, by looking at the ground alone, how do you know that we are in Beijing? Yeah. Actually, we don't know. We really don't know. Yeah. We have come to associate this carpet with Buddhist library. But when I first moved in here and stayed here for 4 years, this carpet was not here. It was a different carpet. But because most of you started coming only after there was this carpet, yeah, then you associate this carpet with Buddhist library with this carpet. When 2011, there was a major renovation. So the office had an extension coming out, and there was an AV room, audio visual room at the back. the room used to be shorter, you know. Yeah. So, but because most of you may not have come here before, so you associate this structure with Buddhist library. But Buddhist library is changing. From day one until now has been changing. And then there are those devotees from even earlier, when it was in another lorong, yeah, in Honan building, in at some point I think in Marine Parade, one small shop house or small place or something. So for them, Buddhist library means a lot of other things. But for most of us, Buddhist library means this particular. Yeah. So that day in Beijing, then I, yeah, that was the first time. Ever since then, I've been traumatizing people with, where are you?
Where we are.
Yeah. We are where we are. If we are truly where we are, then there's still a question. Who is here? So, 破了法空, 我空还在, 我还在. But there was another instance where I was along PIE, and then we were, you know, PIE towards the west, towards east, sorry, east, and then there's the signboard, Serangoon, Upper Serangoon. So I was doing reflection, then I saw the signboard, and then suddenly I exclaimed and I said, ah, Serangoon is not Serangoon, it's named Serangoon. Yeah. So you all have these two incidences to thank for all the trauma you all experienced subsequently. Yeah. So, 变成法尘分别影像, yeah, 不是佛菩萨圣人所证的毕竟空, yeah, so it's different. Yeah, it's not the same as what they have attained. But what they have attained, 不可得 as well. Yeah, so they cannot just say, oh, this is the thing. The moment they describe it, it's a concept already. But still the Buddha used all these concepts. Also, otherwise then how? The Buddha just smiled at us. So what do you think? Cannot move also. Move concept already. The moment he gesture concept. So in fact, you know, like 禅宗拈花微笑, yeah, even that is a concept. Not conceptless also. Even that is a concept. 若用心学习分别法也是非法，非法也是法，都是不对的，不能契合诸法实相，诸法真实相的境界。So when you put in effort to learn and then discriminate, then you realize that this duality actually collapses. Yeah, they are both the same. Yeah. So that duality is not right. Yeah. And with that conceptualization, then you cannot penetrate into the ultimate reality of all phenomena. Yeah. So 因为都加个非字, so because all still have a fei. Yeah. In a way, when you say fei, not this, that means there's something else. So there's still that 对比嘛. Yeah. 所以法也是非, 非法也是非, 不能取着, 一取着, 就不对了, yeah, the moment you grasp. Here when we say grasp, doesn't mean, wow, you have strong attachment until you cry out. It is that the moment you have a concept, that's considered grasping. A very fine level of grasping. A very fine, low level of grasping. No. So you all can, when you go back, consider this. Whenever in your mind become agitated, and you have fear, you have anxiety, you have uncertainty, you consider, is that grasping? Are you grasping onto this as real, grasping onto that as real? I don't say, when we say not real, there's the conventional reality, okay? Like when you're crossing the street, and then the bus horn at you,
Yeah. In terms of ultimate reality, it's all unreal. So, all unreal. Sifu, knock me down. Oh. The knocking down is unreal. So. But if you're not there yet, then treat it as real. I mean, to be very honest, lah, you cross the road, then the bus coming, then you go to unreal, unreal, unreal. If you still need to do that, then it's still real for you. Doesn't mean that enlightened beings anyhow cross the road. It just means that the enlightened being, if Heng Heng Shui Shui have to be knocked down, have to be knocked down, the enlightened being will not be like, you know, like us like that. Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, how many of you, your fear is because every day you go and walk across the street and people honk at you? How many of our fear is due to this kind of objective reality? I say objective reality is objective conventional reality. How many times? Not much times, right? But doesn't mean that we don't have fear and we don't have anxiety. We have fear and anxiety, right? Correct? Or? Yeah. But in that case, maybe we can try. Yeah. We have some anxiety, we have some fear, we have some, you know, agitation in the mind. I'll go and check. What is the basis for it? Recently, a student asked me some questions. Actually, over the years, a series of students, different students are not one. Different students asked me questions about their thoughts or whatever they encounter, their experience. Yeah. That day I thought, okay, maybe I can formulate, I can write out a flow chart. I like to use flow chart, yeah, to help people look at things in a structured manner. Yeah, because as you know, as Sifu explained or described, sometimes we miss out certain parts. Yeah. But you draw everything. Anytime you can reference all the parts, then maybe it can help people. I will share with you all when I come out with that. It's actually all in my mind already. Like, okay, so you encounter this. So is it an objective truth or is it a relative truth? Yeah. Is it an objective reality or non-objective reality? Is it conventional or not? Yeah. But most of the questions will not be so dharma, will be very straightforward. Yeah. So like this, like that, then okay. If it's yes, then go down this path. Then you have the next question. So this is a self-help knowledge-based system, expert system. Yeah. So I'm codifying my limited wisdom. So you all can use it on the fly. Yeah. Maybe I should write an app. Yeah, feel anxious. Okay. Then you see my face. Okay. Tell me, yeah. Shifu online.
Then choose A, yeah. Then it'll bring you, yeah, to another page.
Yeah. Then just click. Yeah. And because if you come to me for counseling, that's what I do anyway. I will just analyze for you, you know, all the different permutation. Yeah. The trouble I find, or the challenge I find for most people is they have difficulty grasping the whole tree of possibilities.
Even articulating what's their concern is already a big thing. Not, yeah, to mention the starting the first.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The articulation sometimes itself is the problem. Yeah. But we'll see how.
Put it on Play Store.
Play Store. Oh. No. The app is just a frivolous thought. I'll just do a flow chart. Yeah. I'll just do a flow chart first. Then, so the flow chart, then you have tree, ma. All the conditional trees. Yeah. Then, but you all must know, there are certain situation that I don't have a solution also. So some of the end result is, I don't know. You may need to seek help from somebody else. I mean, to be realistic, I don't claim to be able to solve all your problems as well. Buddha never say he can solve all your problems as well. And like all expert system, there's a certain assumptions about what you call that, premise. The premise of this framework is like this. The person who use it must follow this premise. If your premise is different, either you revise the framework or you have to find another framework that fits your premise. It's like what I shared with some students before. If you go to see a doctor, and then the doctor say that, you ask you, what is your, why are you here today? And you say, I have cancer. And then the doctor is like, oh, how do you know you have cancer? Then you must come up with some basis for it. And in the medical field, they need to have certain scans done to even say that you might have cancer, not to say you have cancer. But if you use a different set of framework that is not the Western medical science, then they will, I mean, they spend many years studying, and they may have many years of medical experience. But if you use a different framework, they just cannot help you. Yeah, and that's why when you see a Western doctor, they will always tell you, if you look like someone who will take TCM, they will highlight, do not take TCM. Yeah. But some Western doctors, they will tell you, I'm not against TCM, but it's that if you take TCM, we haven't done analysis of all the active ingredients inside TCM medicine. Yeah, TCM. So we don't know what is the way the active ingredient in TCM will interact with Western medicine. And so it may change the result such that we cannot determine what is the next course of action. Yeah. So not that the doctor don't want to help the patient, but if you see a Western doctor, you must follow the Western framework. If you look at TCM, they will tell you about Wu Xing, Jing Mu Sui Wei Tu. They will tell you about Ren Re, Yin Yang. Yeah. Then you go to see a TCM and say, but hey, Shen Yi Shi, ni guo jiang, wo shi bu shi yao shi antibiotics? Yeah. Is this viral or is this bacteria? Then, TCM, 还是你要看西医? You know what I mean? Yeah. They both work in their own ways. So, that framework only works with that premise. I don't claim that that framework works for everybody. Okay. 我们就讲到这里。 愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧证明了，不愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛，起立。